What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Like We Were Friday, kind of a special football type show. It is game week for the Kansas City Chiefs. It is game week for the NFL. We still got college football on tonight with Florida State and SMU. Drew, good morning to
Let's
you.
Let's go. What's up, Bank?
Let's go, man. I'm so excited about this. We finally made it. I know we've been talking about week zero, then week one in college football. We're in the midst of it right now, still have a game, but we've been waiting for the NFL season to start. We're waiting patiently, but man, this offseason seems so long. Now, usually it does with you, Drew, because you're a Bengals fan, and they haven't played in the postseason for the last 3 years, so it's been extremely long on your behalf, Drew. And sorry about that, but that's just reality. But we all felt that this year, you know, having that, and you look at the Senior Bowl, and you look at the Combine, the draft. It's been a very long offseason for the Chiefs. You go through OTAs, the hot-as-hell year that we had, the summertime, the heat, the St. Joe, all the 100-degree days. Whatever, you can't wait for the National Football League to start. But we have football every night, my friend, except for tomorrow night. Except for tomorrow night. So that is your honeydew day, Tuesday night. That is the day, might as well take the wife out to dinner or the girlfriend, whatever. It's invite them out to dinner because Wednesday through the weekend, you're going to be really busy. Do you plan on taking advantage of that at all, Drew? Hey, tomorrow night, let's go out. I figured tomorrow night would be a great, because you don't have to tell her, right? You say, hey, let's go out tomorrow night. I want to take you somewhere special. And then that'll buy you the rest of the week for football. You know what I'm saying? You play it safe.
Yeah, I think you just need to plan your schedules accordingly. You
exactly.
know, like if you know, hey, the Chiefs play at this time, or, you know, on like yes. you can get some stuff done over the weekend. Or if you're a KU, MU fan, like, It's nice that the game's on Friday, so you can watch the border war, and then, you know, you can handle stuff the rest of it. It's just a matter of planning. I mean, that's the way that it goes. Like
this week is ridiculous.
Like Wisconsin played last night. Hey, what time's the Wisconsin game? I was asked yesterday by the wife, and it's like, hey, they play at 6:30. Perfect. There's a window of time. The NASCAR race is at night. So perfect opportunity between noon and 6, whatever we got to do, whatever we need to get done. If you want to hang out, if you want to go do something, perfect.
I know
this
we had the Apple Cup.
To do it. So it's just a matter of planning and not just parking it.
Exactly. I want to ask you this because the Apple Cup was on, and that's a traditional, usually late season game with Washington State in Washington. And whenever you watch that game, Drew, and it was the only college football game, you know, on the docket there at 3 o'clock, but it's always competitive between those two teams. I'm sitting there thinking about it. And you know that old meme that showed, who was it? What was that TV show they called? And they're looking around and the house is empty. It was like Will Smith or something. He's looking around and the whole house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When they were in the Pac.
Fresh Prince.
Yeah, Fresh Prince. Yeah. When they were in there were just two teams in their conference. Now the Pac-12, you know, actually has a conference now. Not the best of the best like it was, but just seeing that. But then I was thinking, ESPN, man, NBC, you know they slotted that game for the longest time. It was Notre Dame-Wisconsin, a special game at Lambeau Field. But was there a reason to have LSU, or not LSU, but Ole Miss and Louisville? Because I know that this game was set before the rankings came out. But, man, you had every opportunity. You could have played an 11 o'clock game. You could have maybe had that kickoff, that game at 11 o'clock. That way you had the Apple Cup leading right into the Notre Dame-Wisconsin game. Couldn't you spread? I know college football, everything is, you know, jumbled up together when you get to Saturdays. But couldn't you just kind of spread that out yesterday? Spread that out? Because that was two really good games at the same time. Definitely two TV time, but two really good games at one time.
You're saying move one of the night games to noon. So have it be noon, 3, and 6:30.
Would you have done that?
I mean, probably. I didn't have as big of an issue with it because you can multi-view it and all that other stuff.
Oh, of course you can.
So I didn't think it was that big of a deal. Plus, I was so locked in on the Wisconsin game more than anything else that, you know, I paid attention to the Louisville game. Obviously, that was the better game, but I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I think some people would rather have it be spread out just to, I don't know. Some people think just want to be sat in front of the couch, I suppose. And if you're one of those people, then yeah, I can understand why you wanted to be that. The biggest thing, though, from this weekend, biggest talking point, isn't the Ole Miss Louisville game. We'll get to that and some of the other stuff later in the show from week one. Ron Kopp's going to join at 9. Nick Bromberger is going to join at 11. So there's a lot to get into, obviously, with this week.
Oh, we'll get right into it. One question, though, Drew. I have one silly thing to ask you first. Why was Pete Golding wearing a hooded sweatshirt in that heat in Nashville last night? That's my question, man.
I mean, I wear hoodies in hot weather. So
in 90-degree to 100-degree weather? Come on, man.
It was not that hot last night.
Dude, in Nashville with that humidity, the humidity was ridiculous. Guys were sweating like crazy. He's out in a sweatshirt. And then Washington has their home stands with the sun. Okay, wait. Regardless, the main game was the one Bob Fesco ended up going to in the Big House, Michigan, and Western Michigan. We saw almost a 28-point underdog beat Michigan, and most people still think Western Michigan did beat Michigan because of the 1 second, man, the 1 second put on the clock. That game was so rough. Michigan started that game out, looked so good. That offense is crisp. Underwood looks good.
Yeah.
Oh, it looked good. But there was a lot of bad offensive play this weekend, and that game fit right in there with it. There was nothing except what happened with the second being added on the clock for a Hail Mary pass from Michigan, which has really caused controversy around college football and football because it's that whole thing, Drew, that brings me back to Brendan Sorsby, you know, at Texas Tech, and I do think you can bring him up in this conversation with that Michigan, Western Michigan, is do you trust things when you're watching it? Like Brendan Sorsby was betting on his own team. Can you trust him to continue to do that? That would have been the question had he been allowed to play at Texas Tech because these leagues are fighting reality versus non-reality when you're watching these games.
But the
clock is become the biggest issue. And obviously Nick Bromberg, we'll talk to him at 11, has a great write-up on that. And Mike Pereira was involved talking about this. Terry McCauley, all these former NFL officials, a lot of them don't agree with it, don't agree with the second being put back on the clock. It was. The Big Ten puts out a statement, albeit in a weird font. It was like this weird font they put out for their explanation. But the bottom line is, one of the best explanations I've heard, and I agree with that 100%, the game clock is the one they show in the corner, right? Because the camera is fixed on the in-stadium clock.
That's what they say.
So if that's on there, and then the Big Ten had a separate clock that was actually different than the TV's clock as far as the end of the game,
mm-hmm.
that's bogus and should never happen in football because the players and the coaches aren't actually seeing the real time. The in-stadium clock needs to be the go-to, end-all, be-all, unless the clock goes out and you have to have the official time with the referees. But players and coaches need to know the exact timing of what goes on. That's been my biggest problem with it.
I think they need to go to tenths. You know, I think they need to show tenths of a second because it's something that was discussed, I believe. I don't know if it was college football. I think it was the NFL that discussed this a couple years ago. And on the premise of it, it's like, no, I don't think so. But this is something where, look, if there was somebody who I saw who put down to the very tenth of a second, they did the clock, essentially, and there was like 0.4 left, 0.3 left, and obviously that can go through in a blink of an eye. But if there was, for instance, let's say 0.1, just for the sake of the conversation, let's say there's 0.1 seconds left on the clock, then you add the full second, or they would just add a second. But to me, the way that I don't know what the review process was like. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, to me, they gave an explanation, but if the stadium clock is the one that you used, then it hit zero. But where did you make the determination to put the second on? Now, and if you were to tell me, hey, there was 0.1 left on the stopwatch, then great. It's 0.1 seconds left, and you do the play, and you run it back again. But I think that this is an example of that conversation needing to be had again, because of course, it's a controversial thing, not only because it's, you know, a play that ended up winning a game, but we're also looking at one of the bigger upsets that we've seen in a very, very long time. Just because it's Michigan more than anything else. I mean, it's interesting enough. UMass beating Rutgers was actually a bigger upset if you look at the spread, but neither here nor there.
I mean, it was within a half point.
It was within a point. And if you listen to the 249 Miles of College Football podcast, I told you to lock this in. That was this was the lock of the weekend.
Dude, it completely was. They were the MAC champions last year.
It was the lock of the weekend.
They're the preseason MAC favorite. Do you know that?
Yes. Like I picked them to win the MAC. They returned everybody. I won money on this bank because I thought it was locked.
Well, you should. It was a lock.
But anyways, I think that, yeah, it's definitely a part of the conversation that should be had now is going to a tenth of a second, because I do think if that was the case, or it would provide more clarity. It is also rich, which is, it's difficult to have this conversation too around having it be fair, because it's the Big Ten officiating this game. It's a Big Ten team that's participating in the game, and it's the Big Ten team that had the extra. So I obviously, in this world that we live in, which is unfortunate, where everything is rigged and everybody wants to say this stuff, everything adds up to favor the Big Ten, quote unquote, in this situation. I think Western Michigan has also handled this very, very well.
Oh, they did. They
I would
handled
not
the class.
Be mad, Bink, because I would not be mad if they reviewed it today. If the NCAA, they won't do this because they're the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Then they should review this, and if they find that it was 0.0, then they should be able to give Western Michigan the win. I don't have a problem with that at all whatsoever, because we used to vote, Bink. There was a time when AP voters voted and declared a national champion. We should be able to go back a day later and realize, hey, after investigation, it was 0.0s. We don't know what they were talking about. We're going to give Western Michigan this win. I don't think anybody would have a problem with it.
Well, the replay officials were showing the fans after the game to justify it, but the Big Ten jumps in right away to do it. My thing is this, had it been like a kickoff classic type game, like Ole Miss and Louisville was officiated by Big 12, right? Because it had nothing to do with the conferences that were playing. Had this game been played at a neutral site with the neutral officiating crew for another conference, Michigan would have lost. Like, they would have lost that game. And the interesting thing to see is the difference between the NFL and college football. This is from Pro Football Talk. This is Rule 15 of the official 2026 NFL rulebook. An on-the-field ruling that time expired during or after last play of any half or at the end of overtime period in the regular season or an overtime half in the postseason is reviewable by the replay official only when the visual evidence demonstrates that the clock should have stopped with 2 or more seconds remaining. So therefore, in this case, in the NFL, had that been an NFL game, it would have been over because of the 2 second rule.
And that's why the NFL has talked about adding the tenths of a second. They discussed it more than college football has. But
it comes down to the reality of, and obviously it's different now. You know, there's postseason, you get postseason games. But back in the day, this game could cost you playoff berth or not, what you did in game one.
Oh, I mean, there's an argument where Western Michigan should be more ticked off because if they beat Michigan, Bink, they play Boise State next week or this upcoming weekend. If you were to tell me Western Michigan started their season by beating Michigan, beating Boise State, and they ran the table, they're in the playoff. I don't know what to tell you. They would be in the playoffs. So I think that Western Michigan should absolutely have some beef with this. Somebody from the 816 had mentioned on Get Up, they had somebody on, I don't know who it was, but she said that the yellow lines make the clock behind the quarter of a second because of technology. So that was the one thing that I don't remember who, if it was Terry McCauley or whoever was calling the game, if it was Noah Eagle or whoever was, I believe they mentioned it could, for us, look like it hit on the zeros, but it in the stadium, it wasn't. Which is why you were saying the officials were showing the fans no, there was still a second left on the clock.
The TV was using the stadium clock.
She said the first down line puts the TV clock behind a quarter of a second. So again, somebody said Heather Dinich. Okay, perfect. So Heather Dinich, obviously, you know, she's involved. She knows what she's talking about. If it does put it behind a quarter of a second, Bank, and we're looking, if they looked at it through tenths of a second, and we need to go to break here in a second, but if they look at it from tenths of a second, if there's 0.25 left on the clock, there's time left on the clock. And if that's how they viewed it, then they should have just said this from the jump because all of this, it's a very vague with the way that they've described this. If they say, hey, there's a quarter of a second left to go on the clock by what we looked at, fine. But say that from the jump and say that from the beginning because obviously, 100%. Because it's weird because if there was a quarter of a second left, it took, in a way, we can't even celebrate the best. One of the most memorable plays of what's going to be the college football season.
Oh, the Hail Mary passer in the MAC. In the MAC was very, like you said, you were talking about the class that Western Michigan showed. You know, in the MAC, they said we agree with the Big Ten's decision. Right, the MAC has a lot to lose too. Right, the MAC gets a ton of money from the Big Ten. Like the Big Ten pays the MAC a ton of money with these non-conference games. You saw that with UMass and Rutgers. There was this as well. Mike Pereira, the NFL rules expert, said this. It is my understanding if there's a discrepancy between the video and replay command center versus the television network video that everybody sees, that replay to use is the TV video, is what Mike Pereira said. That's where the big discrepancy in this whole thing is. And what we saw is reality or not. That's what they're fighting. But to me, Michigan lost that game.
They got outplayed. I don't think they did, actually. I thought they got outplayed, Bink.
Oh, they did.
Well, Western Michigan played better than them for 59 out of the 60 minutes, essentially, outside of that first drive. Western Michigan went on a 14-minute drive. Michigan's defense, I understand that their offense couldn't do anything. Michigan's defense couldn't get off the field against Western Michigan for 15 minutes, almost a whole quarter of clock time.
It's tough. It's just one of those tough things, man. Just seeing that. And you know what's funny is all the media tweets after the game. Western Michigan's upset Michigan. It's like flooded with that.
I'm victim to that. I sent a tweet out, and then wait a minute.
We got one more second to go here.
College football coverage, by the way, is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. We're going to talk some Chiefs next, Mink?
Yeah, we'll talk some Chiefs and then get back into college football after that because there's a lot of other issues this weekend with local college football teams. Yes, but the biggest question for the Chiefs, because we're on game week, we're a week away from the Chiefs in the Denver Broncos at Arrowhead Stadium. Chiefs next. Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Drew Nixon with you till noon, till Josh Vernier takes over a little afternoon baseball for the Kansas City Royals. A little college, a little pro, actually a lot of both mixed in today Drew and I were talking about the Michigan in 1 second left. It's funny because Bob Fesco, no ties to either team, I love that. I respect that. You want to go to the biggest games or the biggest stadiums and the historical stadiums. You want to go there. He was at that Michigan game. So he was funny because he's at the one of the most talked about games probably at the end of the year when we look back at it. But there was a lot of stuff that went on this weekend in college football, good, bad, and a lot of ugly. We'll get into that next as well. But it is game week as well, Drew, as we have New England and Seattle Wednesday night. Then Thursday, we've got the 49ers and Rams. 49ers already been in Australia for like a week now, haven't they? They've been over like last Friday or something like that, or last Thursday.
Yeah.
The Rams.
Been there for a little bit now. The Rams are getting there like right before.
Yeah, so that's that. But the Chiefs, questions come up, and we won't get injury reports to you. What about Thursday, I think, is the first injury report that comes out?
I don't know.
It's before, but typically you start to see these things. The typical off day is Tuesday. The Chiefs supposed to practice a little bit today too, aren't they? But Thursday is kind of when they get going in game week mode.
That's one we'll keep an eye on for Josh Simmons and Ashton Gelati and those guys.
For Simmons, that is go time. That's what you want to see on Thursday, if Josh Simmons out there practicing or not, as the Chiefs looking forward to the Broncos. And the funny thing is, when you look at Andy Reid, his record after a bye week, regular season, postseason, when you're 31-5, when you combine the two in Philadelphia, Kansas City, it's been one huge bye week for the Denver Broncos since they put the schedule out in May. But the biggest question marks, do they still remain? Because I don't feel that they were answered through training camp. I think a lot of times you go through training camp and you talk about what are the biggest questions for the Chiefs in training camp this year. I still feel 1A, offensive line, 1B, wide receivers, mix them, put wide receivers at the top, offensive line, whatever you want, but 1A and 1B, and we'll get into more on that. But that was the biggest concern going starting training camp, and it remains the biggest concern a week out from the game.
Yeah, I mean, offensive line, I think, is the biggest, like, it's like the biggest unknown in a way. I would still say that you can make an argument that the wide receiver room is still that way. You can make an argument that the defensive line is that way because our Mason Thomas looked good during the preseason, but we know that the preseason is so much different than the regular season and that translating. So, like, we think that the defensive line has improved. I believe the defensive line has improved, but until we actually see it, we aren't sure. The offensive line, you still have three out of the five guys that you know you can rely on. And if Josh Simmons plays, then I don't think the offensive line is as big of a question as the wide receiver room is or as the defense is, just in general, particularly like the secondary. Because I know the offensive line is really important, and I get it, obviously, because you're protecting Patrick Mahomes. But you're trying to replace your top two corners, and I know that Mansoor Delane is good, but you're trying to replace an all-pro and your number two corner on your defense that historically has been very good over the last 5 years and has been a large reason why over the last three that they've been able to even be as good as they have been. They've been carrying. So to me, I think that there's a lot of questions or unknowns on defense just the same as there are on offense because of the amount of replacements they've had to have and holes they've had to fill on the defensive side of the ball, whether it be safety and Brian Cook, Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, who's playing edge, alongside George Karlaftis, the interior of the defensive line. Is Kyrus Tonga actually that guy, or is Peter Woods going to fill the role? Is Peter Woods going to be good enough to be next to Chris Jones? I think there's a lot of questions as well, just the same on defense.
It was a defense that finished top 10, in the stats last year.
And then they let everybody walk, they let a lot of guys walk.
Number six in scoring defense. It was about drafting defense, clearly, as I've put it before. Phase one to me for the Chiefs, because they're not complete yet. This Chiefs team right now, do you view them? You don't view them as complete, do you, Drew? You with me on this, that it's phase
one?
What do you
mean by complete?
Complete team, obviously, with salary cap and everything, you can't be 100% complete on either side of the ball. But I think the Chiefs, as far as fixing up this team, it's not complete yet. Because the offense is not
complete. I think it's complete, but it's just... I don't
see it complete at all.
Yeah, but what do you think is going to happen? Bink, to me... What do you view as complete is my question. Because if my complete is
playmakers at wide receiver, yes, half of it's complete.
We're not going to get that this year.
No,
then.
You're not. That's what I'm saying.
So you're saying they have an incomplete offense this year.
I think it's incomplete.
Do you think they win the division?
I think that, yes, because I think Denver takes a step back because they're not going to win those close games like they did last year. Reality hits you fast with that first place schedule. And
I don't think you can have an incomplete offense and win the division.
It depends. I believe the running game is much different. That part was fixed from the – well, we think it's fixed. We hope it's fixed, but it looks like it's fixed. So the running game, that certainly helps. But, again, when you draft heavily on defense, can your offensive line hold up? The wide receivers, do you have the skill positions? Because I do think the 27 draft is when – I think right now they hope that Peter Woods – R. Mason Thomas, a company that they hit it in the draft, a man Seward Lane. So that way in the 27 draft, they look at the defense building upon what they did this year. But then next year, it's adding those electrifying pieces on the offensive side. That's when you get the two phases. That's why I don't think this is 100% complete yet for what they're trying to do, and they're going to roll with it. They've done it in the past where they've rolled with it as well, trying to fix one side of the ball or the other. I just look at them being extremely thin. And you know, it's funny because obviously they get rid of Wanye Morris quickly. The Atlanta Falcons during the offseason, they get a sixth-round pick for 27 back. Wanye, by the way, is with the Cowboys now. Did you know that he went to the Dallas Cowboys now? That's where he ended up. I'm surprised he didn't end up back with the Kansas City Chiefs. But the thinness, whether Josh Simmons starts or not, and I'll be honest with you, I think, honestly, Drew, I probably sit at a 7 out of 10 now that he will.
He will play?
I do. I
would say so.
I sit there. But I'll say this, though. What if 3 weeks in he doesn't? Then all of a sudden you're spreading things out and Jalen Moore's going over there. Then Khalil Benson, this undrafted free agent, the right tackle. I think in a hurry it can get extremely thin. And I think that's one way you have to look at him. I know the wide receivers. Okay, if Rice, you know, goes out there in week one and he's fine and you get the resurgence from Worthy, Cyrus Allen shows you little more than he did in preseason, goes back to showing you what he did kind of in OTAs and turning heads. But again, we really haven't seen it with pads on, but you're still that injury away. And I know you're injury away from everything, especially quarterback, but this team literally can't take those injuries, man. Like wide receiver and offensive line, it changes so much of what they do and how they're able to do it. And do they have the depth to do it? Again, the Chiefs have often looked good on paper. But then when the season starts, when the game starts, especially at the wide receiver group, things become completely different.
From the 816, if Josh Simmons is out, do we start considering sitting Mahomes? I would say no.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
I don't think you can. I understand the thought. Like, it might creep into your head for a second, but I think you have to throw it. I think you have to set it aside just because it's a division game. You've got to roll out. I mean, if it was a playoff game, Pat would be playing. So I know that it's not a playoff game. It's week one, but I think he's going to be out there. There's no reason why the quarterback wouldn't be playing in a game that matters like that. You just have to deal with it.
He battled too hard to get back from this injury. And one thing is, Drew, you just changed the playbook. You changed the plays. If Simmons is out, a lot of things change. Quicker passes, more passes out of the backfield. You hand the ball off a lot more, even though you're probably planning on doing a lot now. It's even more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you change things around. So. You don't expose Mahomes back there without a left tackle.
Yep, otherwise you end up getting sacked 70 times like the Bengals
did with
Joe
Burrow. It changes your game plan 100%. But I'm just saying the two biggest concerns kind of still there.
100%, yeah.
So especially with the Denver Broncos, because the one thing they do well is getting to the quarterback. So.
And a lot of that'll be we're going to get the first look on Monday, and then we're really going to know where they're at.
If there's a game to get Josh Simmons back, this is it.
Yeah, for sure.
Coming up next, though, we have Ron Kopp from Arrowhead Pride coming up at 9 o'clock as we diagnose more Chief stuff there, looking at college football with Nick Bromberg at 11. But coming up next, the local schools. Obviously, Drew and I got a chance to talk about that Missouri game on Friday because they played Thursday night. But KU, K-State, just our opinions on their games this weekend. And, of course, a big one this Friday night, Missouri and Kansas. Hey, welcome back. Jay Binkley, Drew Nixon. Hope you're enjoying your Labor Day weekend. It's football week. Kind of talks of football. Get Josh Vernier coming up at noon. Get your baseball fix done.
There's a lot going on this weekend. I feel like fall officially kind of hit a little bit more, not weather-wise. It's going to. Later on this week, it will.
You know what's funny is I was watching the news the other night. I was watching just the weather. Really the only thing I give a damn about, right? And they were showing one of these festivals. And every year, it's the same festival. And they're always talking about the heat and how the heat's keeping people away and the businesses are complaining because the revenue's not there. It was the same festival as last year, saying the same thing, because I had the exact same conversation with people. Yeah. It was like, man, they're talking about all the heat, and the vendors are talking about the heat. This is what they said last year. And you know what? If you're going to have your festival the first week of September, this is what it's going to do next year as well. Just telling you, unless you want to push the thing in October or do it in early June or late May, you're going to be dealing with the heat
for like,
coming
the,
up later.
A week before it gets really nice. Yeah,
and keep those damn pools open. Don't close them all, because it's going to be hotter than hell throughout the month. What's funny is these, you know, you're seeing all these pools closing. I know that, you know, a lot of the guys, people are lifeguards and stuff going back to school and all this. But man, it's going to be still be 100 degrees and your damn pool is going to be closed. Don't close it, Drew.
No, and I get it. I understand. The pool for us is not closed yet. I was out there yesterday.
Good. Well, it's Labor Day weekend. Typically, they don't close.
A lot of times, though, we're getting close to the time where they close it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Like the first week where it hits like 70s, they're like, oh, we're going to close it. It's like, what are you doing? It's still 70. You can still go and hang out at the pool.
I remember sitting there in October last year going, pools have been closed for like a month. It's still like 100 degrees. All right, KUK State. This weekend as well, KU's priming themselves for Missouri. And I'll tell you this, these schools are probably really, really glad, like KU and Missouri, that they played some FCS chumps to begin week one to kind of iron things out, because we saw so many college football teams just not looking sharp. The offenses this week, and if you watch the product of college football, because there was a lot of bad products. Yeah, like Jaden Maiva at the USC and some of these quarterback, Darian Mensah at Miami, look good. But there's a lot of offenses that look bad, that you expected to be good. But this is what you have without preseason. Because in the NFL, even in preseason game one, guys look slow, but you got three games, you got all those practices, college football. It's go time, man. I'll give a ton of credit to LSU, Clemson. I know LSU pounded them, but they played a tough opponent right there in week one, and that's not easy to do. Even, you know, Colorado playing Georgia Tech, stuff like that. It's not playing like FCS, you know, wannabes in your first game of the season, and you feel good because you're going out and kicking their butts, like we saw from KU and K-State. But KU, Isaiah Marshall is the quarterback there now instead of Cole Ballard. I thought the first half, KU was still a little bit sloppy, trying to work things out and stuff. And then, like we saw with a lot of teams, it progressively got better and better for KU as we went. I still think about a 6-win team. 5-6-1 team. I don't know if you came off that watching. Like, there's nothing really to glean from a game against Long Island.
No. It's hard to, you know, feel like there like anything changed. I have them going 4-8 this year.
You have them going 4-8.
Yeah, I don't think five or six
would be a high ceiling for them.
I mean, 6-6 would be a good season. But I think though, regardless of our predictions or whatever, like you can be really encouraged, I think, by what Isaiah Marshall showed. Like, I think you're right. They looked a little sluggish to start off. Defensively, they were very good, obviously. But
second quarter, they took off. But
Isaiah Marshall, I think, delivered. Like, there were moments where you saw him make throws where it's like, okay, I understand the hype around this guy. And then his dual threat capability. You look at Nick McMillan, who had some great catches. It feels like there's a lot of different playmakers on this offense. Nick McMillan obviously being a big one. Him and the Nazi Cox had one really big catch. It feels like there's, and then Dylan Edwards got involved. Yassin Willis looked solid.
You and Yassin's a big running back too. He's a transfer from Syracuse over to him. And yeah, Dylan Edwards that you saw at Colorado and K-State for the last couple of years at Kansas now to give him kind of that speed in the backfield.
Yeah, they have a really good balance where I think that's going to help out Isaiah Marshall. I thought Isaiah Marshall looked really good. One of the things that we, you know, going into the matchup is, if I was a KU fan, I would want Isaiah Marshall to look like the better quarterback, and he did. Cole Ballard was solid when he came in, but Isaiah Marshall gave you a little inkling of what he could be with the running and the throws. Didn't turn the ball over. Just very efficient from Kansas. I'd be really encouraged, of course, going
inaccurate
into this big week in the Border War on Friday. So obviously, we're going to get more of an idea on how good Isaiah Marshall can be, how good he actually is right now, and all those other things. But for one game against an FCS opponent, I would say Isaiah Marshall definitely did what I would be looking for if I was a Kansas fan.
There's 138 teams in Division I. I'm a big fan of playing an FBS team if you're an FBS team, but the three local schools did play FCS teams. And not great FCS teams, too. This isn't like North Dakota State of years ago. It's now a Division I team, but they weren't great. And then Kansas State, I know they go out, they get 71 points. Nicholls, not a good football team, not even at the FCS level where they're at. But regardless, this is about a better way to start for Kansas State, because losing over in Ireland in week one last year, I felt, set them off on the wrong tracks. But beating an FCS team and putting up 71 points gives that team a ton of confidence, I do believe, especially Avery Johnson, how well he fits in with Colin Klein.
Yeah, and I mean, the last time they scored 70, I mean, they were, at one point, they were number one in the country, number two in the country. Not saying that's going to happen this year. And also, they return another punt return for a touchdown. I saw this stat real quick before I get into some more about the game. They have 64 punt or kickoff return touchdowns since 2005. That's number one in the country by 24 touchdowns. Number
Bill Snyder's biggest thing, man.
Number two is Alabama, who has 40 of them. So, yeah, shout out to Special Teams U with K-State for another punt return for a touchdown.
Brandon White.
And Brandon White, yeah, exactly. Got that done. I mean, look.
Transfer from Hawaii.
Like you said, it's hard to get into, man, they looked really good because of this and that. Like, man, 70 points. It's really hard to look at who they played and get into that. But I think outside of those things, Avery Johnson looked like he had confidence, and Rodney Fields Jr. looked really good. Joe Jackson didn't even run the ball as much. Like, Rodney Fields Jr. got more carries, but Joe Jackson was involved everywhere in the offense.
Almost 50 yards receiving on just a couple catches.
His touchdown catch was a really cool play design from Colin Klein. So, and again, one of the things that I thought of, okay, going into this matchup is who are the playmakers going to be for K-State in terms of the offense? All three running backs got involved mainly. Jay Harris, he did have the fumble, but Jay Harris, Rodney Fields Jr., Joe Jackson all played well. Avery Johnson, of course, looked good, but Garrett Oakley was involved. Jerron Tibbs was solid. Josh Manning, Derek Salley Jr., all these guys had 30-plus receiving yards. Like, you look into the total stats and you say, well, it's only 247. It's not like he threw for a Darian Mensah 400 or something like that. But to me, the involvement from not just four guys, it's Joe Jackson, it's Garrett Oakley, it's Tibbs, Salley, Manning, White. Like, there's five or six guys that I wonder, as we get further into the season, once we get into Big 12 play, does that consistency continue with the distribution of the ball from Avery Johnson? Because I think that makes them harder to prepare for. And
especially when you're running for over 300 yards.
Yeah, I think people have said that, you know, the offensive line is obviously a big question in this. Can they continue to block well against Big 12 opponents? We'll see, but the wide receiver room, for all intents and purposes, people thought maybe wasn't as high-end as it was like last year with Jace Brown. But depth-wise, it's a solid group, a really solid group. And I think Colin Klein, for some reason, this is why I'm higher on K-State this year. Like, I picked him to go 10-2. I think they've got a very favorable schedule.
Very favorable.
I think they can contend to make it to the Big 12 title game. If not, they might actually be able to do it. But I think Colin Klein and Avery Johnson is a big part of that, where we saw what Colin Klein did with Marcel Reed, and obviously that pairing is back together, where Colin Klein convinced Avery Johnson to go to K-State essentially in the first place, and for not only that, but for him to stay too. I really think there's something that's there with Avery that we can still see that we haven't yet in his time at K-State, because Colin Klein is back there.
I'm surprised they didn't get Jace Brown to stay. Had they got him to stay, that would have been what they needed.
That LSU money, Bink.
Well, I know, but he goes down as just a catch in that LSU game.
I totally agree with
but
you.
There's so much
He's
talent
definitely not going to be the guy there. Like,
it would have been perfect there, yeah.
Back in Manhattan.
Yeah, it would have been perfect in Manhattan. But we have Washington State going against Kansas State
next
week.
That one's going to be fun.
That's next Saturday, yep, 11 a.m.
Then the Border War, so some good local action.
Then Friday you got KU in Missouri. Then not again to what, 2031, I believe, is the once.
For now, yes. Hopefully
yeah,
they
now.
Might be
it
able
needs to
add
be played
it
every
in
week.
There. Another one in there.
Yeah. All right, back to the NFL for the next couple of segments. We got Ron Kopp, again, the editor-in-chief, ArrowheadPride.com at 9. AFC-NFC title game picks, because guess what? It's game week. Next. Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Drew Nixon with you till noon, till Vern takes over. Little Kansas City Royals baseball versus the Arizona Diamondbacks. You still watching baseball at all, Drew? You watching the playoff chases?
Do you want me to be honest?
It's actually kind of fun right now.
Do you want me to be honest?
Not the Royals aren't fun right now, but I mean, it's kind of fun. Yeah, be honest. Or just lie to me.
Lie?
Go ahead, lie.
I'm locked into the baseball.
Okay. So we'll take
I've watched more baseball this year, Bink, than than I have in a long time, Bink.
I know you have. You and I watched Southern 500 yesterday.
Yeah, had that split with the games.
Have it all on there. So NFL and college, obviously, game week.
I'm so excited for the chase too, Bink. It's great.
It's going to be fun. But Wednesday, of course, you got Seattle, the Super Bowl champion. I love how the NFL does the first game, you know, being the Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, it feels like once you hit week one, and next year, by the way, there's no more week zero. Week zero is week one. There is no more week zero with college football for next year. Yeah. Yeah, and have it be one big celebration where everybody is playing and everything like that. Like, this is, it feels like once week one hits, fall's officially here, because we know week one of the college football season, 1 week away to the NFL season. You know, you get into the playoffs and stuff like that with other sports during the summertime, of course, with baseball, and then you get into basketball and all the other stuff that comes with it. So, very exciting. But yeah, Bink, We went through futures week last week. I did want to get into a couple of futures, though, or one future today, just looking back at what we could think of futures week, brought to you by Brightside Plumbing for same day plumbing service. Visit callbrightside.com. Bink, the AFC and NFC title game picks. If people watched on our social media, you know, they saw like our Super Bowl pick, they saw division winners, wildcard winners, but we didn't have AFC, NFC title game picks. Who do you have in the AFC and NFC title game?
Well, this is always interesting.
Text line can also chime in too, by the way.
Yeah, 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. AFC, and I hate to do this, Drew. I would start with NFC first. We start with NFC first, or you mean AFC?
So you go...
I feel dirty doing this.
I do AFC because alphabetical order.
Okay.
A to N. But
I feel dirty doing this.
Go ahead.
So,
over the Chiefs? Is that what it is?
No, I don't have the Bengals. I have the Bengals actually much. I have the Bengals in the playoffs this year, actually. But as far as the AFC title game, I just feel this is now or never for Josh Allen.
You got the Bills winning it?
I get it. It was just going to the AFC title game. Okay. Yeah, but it's now or never for him. And I hate doing this. But last year, you're sitting there just making mistakes in the postseason. Are you going to see that anymore?
More turnovers.
I didn't see a lot of improvement for Buffalo this year. We'll see what happens. I do feel they're going to win that division. But, yeah, I have the Bills there. And I have the Ravens. Ooh, and I think the Ravens defense gets better. I think Declan Doyle coming over as offensive coordinator is really big for the Ravens. I think it's one of the bigger hires.
Who makes it then? Because there's going to be a first time appearance then for Josh Allen or Lamar. Who is it? Who do you have making it?
Do you really want me to feel bad?
Are you really going to say Josh? You're really picking Josh Allen to make it to a Super Bowl, Bank? Come on.
I might have to, man. Yeah, I have Josh in it.
Jeez.
Again, right. I feel so dirty right now, man. I do.
Good. Okay.
I do.
Good.
But
there's no need to explain it anymore. Your NFC one?
But the reason I have the Ravens in that game is, and I do like Harbaugh and what he did there. I do think your time runs out at a certain time. But Declan Doyle coming over as offensive coordinator is, I think, huge. Dude's been with Sean Payton on those years. Then he was with Ben Johnson last year. I do think it's
Joe Brady still calling plays, right?
Well, it's in Buffalo.
I'm talking about the Ravens. Based on what Lamar said, Bank, he's very, very encouraged about this.
No, Declan Doyle. I was talking about the Ravens there. My bad. I was talking about Doyle coming over.
That one's on me.
For the Ravens. But as far as the NFC, I have the Cowboys. I actually believe the Cowboys. And again, this is one of those things where every year you say they're going to be better. I actually feel like pieces are starting to come together with Dallas. I love their wide receiver situation. I think Dak puts up a million yards as long as he can stay healthy.
Defense getting Caleb Downs.
Like Ferguson, a tight end. But I have the Cowboys and the Rams, although with the Rams, I can see things going extremely south with a few injuries. Of course, you can say that about anybody. But they have some guys there teetering that, man, you lose a few guys, and do I really believe that defense is going to be as good as what's advertised with Aaron Donald coming back? I'm sorry, but when you're 35 and you have missed the NFL for a couple of years, in theory, on paper, it looks good. They've got more pressure on them than any team, but I still put that.
Yeah.
And I put the Cowboys versus the Bills in the SB.
Hold on. All right, now I'm curious. Who do you have winning the whole thing? You do not know. Bink, you don't. I know you don't.
You got to win it at some point because when you look back
on history, you don't have to at some point.
I don't want it to happen. It's just what I would say at this point.
I don't think I would take off, but I would be. I'm not going to pay any attention to anything because the amount of people who already just glaze the mess out of Josh Allen already, it would just be relentless. And Chiefs fans should feel the same way as I do about this.
But Jim, you would never hear the end of it, a very short window, man. And McDermott
and that team just wasn't ready
for the postseason. Great in regular season. Can it change it? I don't know, man.
All right, I'm going to give my picks here in a second. I got to shout out the 913, though. They gave some of theirs from the 913. NFC Rams Lions, like that one. And then the AFC Chiefs Bengals. Woo! Can you imagine, Bink?
That'd be fun.
Hey,
certainly it'd be fun.
That would be a whole lot of fun on this station. I'll tell you that much right now. I could realistically see both of those. For me, if you want to start AFC, I have Bengals Ravens in a rematch. AFC North are going to play for a third time, I think, to go to the Super Bowl. And then the NFC, I've got Cowboys Rams.
Cowboys
beat the Rams as well. I'm with you on the Cowboys.
For some reason,
I'm really high on the Cowboys this year as well. And I don't know what it's hard to
explain. I think other people are too.
Yeah, because I think that, I guess, similar in a way to the Bengals, but we'll leave them out of the conversation. The Cowboys, the offense is so good and so capable because of Dak is better than people think. You have George Pickens, who had a better year than CeeDee Lamb last year. You still got CeeDee. It feels like the offense is capable of doing its own thing. All they need to do, Bink, in my mind, is have a top half defense. If the Cowboys can have a top half defense, all they got to do is get to 15th in the NFL in total defense. And I think they absolutely can make a run at the Super Bowl. And I think the Bengals
are
very
similar. But Quinnen Williams there on that defensive line, I mean, that's big for the Cowboys.
Yeah, Quinnen Williams, you got Caleb. I think Caleb Downs is going to be a difference maker immediately for them from a leadership perspective more than anything else.
Kenny Clark, I think, adds a lot to the defensive line.
Kenny Clark is good. Malachi Lawrence will be interesting to follow. He was another first-round pick for them.
And Caleb Downs is one of my favorite draft picks.
Caleb Downs, in my mind, is still, I believe, this the best pound-for-pound player in the draft last year. And he went, what, 12th? Whatever it was.
You can use him in a lot of different places.
11th? I can't remember when he was picked.
A little bit undersized when everybody's making the Kyle Hamilton comparisons with him. Plays a lot of the same stuff, but he's much smaller.
He's really, really good. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting to see, but this is the fun week, you know, where you get into the predictions on all that stuff. I was just interested to see where you were at with the AFC and NFC.
Josh, you made me feel dirty, man.
I can't believe it.
You made me feel dirty.
You want to go to break and have Ron Kopp on to talk Chiefs? We can cleanse the palate of this show after talking about the Bills winning a Super Bowl, Bank? What?
I hate doing that. I absolutely hate doing it. Because, you know, I hope I'm wrong, and I probably will be.
I really hate to root against you, but I hope you're wrong.
Well, you and I have that same NFC, so I don't know. We're not sleeping on the Cowboys this year. We're finally believing in them. I guess that's kind of like the Bills, too. You finally say, they got to finally do it. But we'll see, but it falls off a cliff if he doesn't do it, man. This is chance, because that window closes extremely short. Ron Kopp, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com, next.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and save thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. An Autodesk company.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over a million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.